Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. It is so good to be here, and it's so good to see all of you and all the new faces this morning, and I just really hope that your time with us today would be a blessing to you, and you just enjoy yourself, and just know that you had an experience with God this morning. The Lord has given me a very wonderful, I mean, just wonderful and powerful message today that I'm just excited to bring to you. In fact, I was so excited about it when I finished it up Friday morning. I wanted to preach it right then, but you weren't here. So, we're looking forward to what the Lord is going to do today. What we need today in five easy steps. Now, you know, you hear those commercials on television, two easy payments of $19.95, and if you call right now, we'll double your order. There's always those offers being made. So we're going to look at needs and wants today. You know, the Lord just impressed upon my heart here what we really need if we're going to make it, if we're going to keep going forward, if we're going to keep doing the things that He's asked us to do. And I believe that this message will speak to the heart of every single person in this room today, no matter where you are in your spiritual walk. And if you're not on that journey yet, I believe today might be your day. I just feel there's something in the air. I feel really good. But you know, the Bible tells us that the Lord will meet our needs. He says, Jesus teaches, you know, to look at the birds of the air, and they don't, you know, do this and do that. God provides for them, and the grass and all the different stuff. Kind of led me to this little funny story. Said there were two robins sitting in a tree one morning, and one looked at the other and said, you know, I'm really hungry. I'm really hungry. And the other one said, I agree. I'm starving, man. They said, let's fly down and find some lunch. So they flew down and they found a freshly plowed field. And it was just rich in harvest, was just filled with worms. And man, they just sat there and they ate and they ate and they ate till they just couldn't possibly eat anymore. Their needs were fulfilled, no doubt about it. And in fact, one little robin turned to the other little robin and said, you know, I'm so full, there's no way I can fly back up on that branch. No way. I'm just going to have to lay here. The other one said, me too. So those two robins laying there basking in the sun, just soaking up the sun, you know, enjoying the basking in this sun. Well, unbeknownst to them, behind them was a tomcat. That old tomcat is laying there and he's just waiting. And he watches and he realizes these robins aren't moving. So he snuck up behind him and he ate them both up. You know what that cat was thinking? Man, I just love Baskin Robbins. A little corny, but you know what? It's funny. So his needs were meant to. Praise the Lord. Oh, James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. And the Word of God says this. If anyone among you thinks, mind you now, thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep one's self unspotted from the world. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much that we could be here together today to worship you. Thank you for the wonderful time we've had so far, Lord, in music and song and just prayer and just being able to give to you and all the things that you've allowed us to hear together this morning. Thank you for all those that have come, all those that are here for the first time, all those, Lord, that are just here today to hear your word, that it would enrich their lives, Lord, and just make their journey just that much more special. I pray, Lord, a special blessing over this word that I know beyond any question that you have prepared for today. And I pray, Lord, this message would just reach far and beyond what I even think that it could do, and it would see hearts and lives change today. I pray, Lord, that it not be me, but it be you. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord, that it would flow like water. Thank you for what you're going to do on this day. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Now, we look at today and we see all kinds of things going on in our world today, and I believe that the world is filled with all kinds of experts. Experts. We got some people that know everything about something, and we got some people that know something about everything. You know, we got a little bit of everything going on all around us. We are just filled. We see and bombarded, if you will, of countless commercials, as I mentioned earlier, about this product or this machine or this pill or whatever that will change your life. We're bombarded with all these different formulas and all kinds of things that guarantee this or that. And it truly seems to never end. I mean, it's just a non-stop barrage of these things. But of course, we all know the difference between needs and wants, or we should. The Bible teaches indeed that God will supply our needs, but we have to understand what that word means. We understand that supply does not mean hand it to you. That's true. Supply is very, very different. It means that it is provided, but an effort on our part to get up and get it is required. I will provide all your needs. Indeed, there's many things in life today that we can grab onto or take part in or have in our lives that will, without any question, bring great change. Some good, some bad, and some are just a waste of time because they do nothing. We have a lot of that happening in our world today. But I'm not focusing on that. That's not what I'm here to talk to you about today. I'm not talking about things or stuff or any of that stuff. I want to talk about something that's going to change your life, because I believe the Lord has got an important message for us to hear today about spiritual matters, things that truly matter, things that are significant to our life. And I want us today to look at exactly what we need. The Bible says God will provide our needs. Well, I believe that He's shown me here through this message there are several ways for us to see that. If we look in this first part of James 1 and 26, it says that if a person thinks that they are religious, but they don't bridle their tongue or control their tongue or deceive their own heart, then that it says that religion is useless. That's a pretty powerful statement. Pretty powerful statement. James here goes on to speak in verse 27 and talks about pure and undefiled religion. So I want us to see, what does that mean? What is he talking about here? If we look at life today and we see that word, religion, that word is thrown around a lot. That word is used a whole lot. And the thing that we need to understand is that it can be associated with just about anything. It doesn't necessarily mean just one thing. You see, we immediately want to embrace that word as a word of faith, but that is not in all cases what it means. And I'll get to you that in just a minute. Let me share just one example of how wide and broad the word religion can be. Many years ago, I was on a call, or I got called to a home to which some neighbors had reported some suspected wrongdoings going on there with some children. Well, I got to the house and knocked on the door, and this lady, or woman, I should say, opened the door. The smell that came out of that house was the most horrendous smell that I've ever smelled in my entire life. It was like I had walked into the sewer. It was awful. It was awful. Well, as I proceeded into the house, I could see why. There was 14 dogs that lived in this house. There was 8 cats that lived in this house. There was birds flying all over the place. There was stuff creeping and crawling all over the place. None of these things went outside. So you know what the problem was there. And it was everywhere. I mean everywhere. You could not walk without stuff being everywhere. It was awful. The sheets on these poor children's bed were blacker than these speakers and drums from mildew and mold, because it hadn't been changed in years. We weren't supposed to ask personal questions, but I asked this lady, I said, "How on earth can you live like this?" And her answer was, "It's my religion." That's how far, broad, and wide, and silly, and crazy this word can be. When we define this word, when we look at what this word means, it is said to be this: a set of beliefs concerning a cause or nature and the purpose of the universe. It involves devotional or ritual observances, and often but not always contains a set or a moral code governing the conduct of human behavior. That's what the word religion actually defined what it means by Webster's Dictionary. Other definitions also include a fundamental set of beliefs agreed on by a group of people, with examples being Christian, Buddhist, Mormons, Muslims, Hindu, and on so on and so on. So we can see very, very clearly there the word religion can be attached to nearly anything. The word religion does not necessarily mean what we always think that it means. And in our world today, whether it is a particular group or whether it is the teaching of a certain person or an idol or something completely made up, this is a very broad term. So let me stand before you this morning very boldly and very affirmative in my knowledge of what the Lord has shown me. Jesus does not offer us religion, my friends. Because you see, He is not one of many. He is the one. He is the only one, period. And we need to embrace that and understand that. What we need today is a relationship with that one. We need a relationship with the one who can change our life forever. That's what we need. That's what we need. James here uses the word pure and undefiled. Now, pure means clean and holy, 100% real. Undefiled means only of God and not of the world. See, because if anything is of the world, does it have a chance to be wrong? You bet it does. So here he says, it's got to be pure and undefiled. In order to really come to terms with these two verses from the book of James, to understand what he is calling for here, in order to hold true to something being pure, something being defiled, to be able to keep oneself unspotted from the world, there's got to be some things in place. There has to be some rules, if you will, some regulations, some guidelines, something to get us there. There are some things that we need, some things that we really need. And I'm glad you want to know what they are, because I'm going to tell you this morning, all five of them. Number one, it must be personal. It's got to be personal. Jesus teaches in the book of John, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, that's a bold statement. That's a strong statement that not everyone can embrace. Many people today are looking for more than one way. Well, I'm telling you, there's not. There's only one. And you got to come through Jesus to get it. A lot of people today claim religion. Some people today claim to be religious based on an occasional appearance at church or an acknowledgement of a belief in God. But at the same time, that very same person, that very same thought pattern, they have never had a personal encounter with Christ. I mean, really embraced it, changed my life. I have become who He's called me to be. That personal encounter, never experienced a real moment with the one who died and rose again. Like that song this morning, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Not everybody can embrace that because they have a head knowledge, but it has never moved here. You know, it's been said before, there's, 18 inches from heaven to hell, from here to here. It's got to move. It can't be just, I think about it. No, it's got to be real. When a baby is born, their first breath, their first movement, their first cry, their first experience of feeling the touch of another, these are not just moments, my friends. These are real. And they are life-changing experiences. Life-changing experiences because they're real. Jesus said we had to be born again in order to experience Him, in order to understand. So what we believe, what we do, it must be personal. It must be personal. And in other words, it's got to be more than just words. It can't be, I believe that. Do we see it? It's got to be real. It's got to be personal. It's something we got to embrace. It's got to be life changing. Just like the moment of that first breath that every one of us had whether it was 20, 30, 40, 90 years ago, it doesn't matter. Being born again is more than a simple prayer. It is so much more than a simple prayer. It is an experience that allows us to relate to God in a personal way. It is more than just saying a little couple of words and then going on about my life however I want to. It is a change. It is something personal that has affected me and changed me forever. Because when we embrace the fact that I can approach God, the Creator of all, I can approach Him in my fallen state and ask Him to forgive me, and He'll do it. And the weight of that sin can be gone. The weight of that sin, I don't have to carry anymore. He makes me new. He gives me a chance to start life all over. Just like on the day that I was born physically, the first time. I get a chance to start over. I get to put all that away. And it gets to be real. I get to say, I am new. I am clean. I am His. That's personal. That's what we got to have. It's got to be personal. It's like a wonderful old song, and we're talking about maybe next month, or not maybe, but for those of you who have signed up, those of us going to go down and see the Gaithers, Bill Gaither wrote this years ago, this little line, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. It's personal. It's got to be personal. The second thing that we need is purifying. Purifying. Now we hear that word when it comes to products, you know, milk and water, and you know, it's all this pure. But think about this. 1 John 1 and 7 says this, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses. When something is clean, it is usable. To be purified, to be made totally clean, it takes something really, really strong. It, you know, when we think of washing things, whether it's a plate or a glass or a bowl, it's got to be scrubbed with hot water and soap and whatever. Clothes need water and soap and maybe bleach and stain remover. But when it comes to our soul, when it comes to our eternal soul, it can only be made clean by the blood of Jesus and the finished work of the cross. There is nothing else that will work. Not one thing. Nothing can take the place of that. Nothing can change that. Nothing can be added to it. It is that and that alone. You see, we need to be purified according to the Word of God, and only Jesus offers what we need in order for that to happen. Only Jesus brings the solution of total cleansing. Only Jesus. And that again goes back to the first thing. It's got to be personal. Man, I got to really embrace this. There's a lot of believers today. A lot of believers that are sitting in church chairs and pews every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, Tuesday night, whenever, that have never totally committed to Christ. That's true. They acknowledge Him. They believe that He existed. They believe that He died and rose again. But they've never been made clean. They are holding on to garbage that they don't have to. They're holding on and carrying that extra weight that they don't have to. It's not necessary. They keep trying to be good enough. They keep hoping to do enough to make it. My Bible says I can know. It says I can be cleansed through Him. There is nothing else that works. There is nothing else that purifies but what Christ offers. And hoping so, and thinking so, and maybe so, is not what purifies. It is not what changes things. We must surrender our will for His will. Just as Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, Father, but yours be done. We must embrace that. We must. We must come before him and repent and be made whole. Because when we do that, and we allow him to be in charge completely and totally of our whole life, then we experience something that words cannot describe. It's called freedom. Real freedom. It's called security of knowing that I will spend eternity with the one who created me, the one who loves me. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." When something is done completely, it's all of it. It says, "And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless," that's purified, "at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We need to be purified. So the question we have to ask ourselves as we look today at this word is just as the old hymn would ask, are you washed in the blood? Are you washed in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Because if you haven't done that, today you need to make it right. Beyond personal, beyond purifying, we need positive. Positive. You see, we live in a negative world. Nearly everything that we see, nearly everything that we experience is negative. The newscast, all it shows is a negative. It doesn't want to talk about the good things. You know, we see headlines focus on tragedy. The blank stare of hopelessness seems to beam, just beam like bright stadium lights from the eyes of so many that are around us. Many are just saying, what do I do? How can this be? Can it get better? Religion can't answer those questions. Religion cannot answer those questions. Religion is often vague. It is often uncertain. Well, we hope things are going to be okay. Or I guess that'll work. Or maybe that'll take care of it. I think that'll work. Or maybe we can do this to see if it'll help. And the list just goes on and on and on. But there's no real assurance in those answers, is it? I think so, I hope so, maybe so. There's no assurance in that. And that's what we need. We need assurance. You know, we put insurance on our cars and our houses and boats and whatever it is that you own with the thought that if something were to happen to them, they could be replaced. Wouldn't we want to put that on your soul? We can have that this morning. We can have assurance. We need positive reinforcement. Not positive in the sense that I will make you feel better by telling you what you want to hear, but I can show you positive in that I know what this says. I know what this says, and I believe it. Most assuredly was one of the things that Jesus used quite often as he would proclaim a statement to someone. Most assuredly, he would begin. In other words, what I'm about to tell you is a fact. What I'm about to tell you is 100% guaranteed. It says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life. We know. When we know something, it changes everything. Because no longer then do we guess or we wonder or we doubt, we know. When we come to Christ, we can know. We don't have to guess so anymore. We don't have to hope so anymore as it comes to spiritual matters. The things of the world, we're never certain of. Never, because that's always up and down. But when it comes to what God says, when it comes to what his word says, when it comes to the teachings of Christ, we can know. We can be positive. We can absolutely know so. Paul writes in his letter to Timothy, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in." Oh, I love this. "I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him, my soul." He is able to keep it until that day. What a powerful verse. And what a positive thing to look at. I know that he is able. There is no question. So we can know. We can be positive of at least one thing in our life. You know, there's a lot of things that we're not sure of. There's a lot of things we wonder about or you know, question or this or that. But that's the one thing that we can absolutely be assured of. We can have one thing positive in our life. And if he is allowed to personally be a part of my life, if he has been allowed to purify me and make me whole, then I am positive that he can take care of me. I am positive he can watch over me and I can trust him with my life. Which gives us the fourth thing that we need. We need power. We need power. A car without an engine doesn't do you any good, does it? Not one bit. A light switch without electricity hooked to it is powerless. It doesn't do any good. A religion or words without the ability to save, sanctify, or heal is powerless. Think about that. If those words, if that practice, if that faith, whatever it is, if it does not have the ability to save you for eternity, cleanse you, heal you of all things, is powerless. And the Word of God encompasses all of those things. Being that reason alone, we can praise Him today. We can praise Him today because we serve the all-powerful. We serve the mighty one, the one who cannot fail, the one who loved me so much that He gave His life for me. We can be excited about that today. Our understanding of who He is gives us power. You know, and I'm not talking about reigning power of majesty. I'm the King of Williams. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the power to keep going. The power to keep going. You know, you hear me talk about all the time the ability to keep going, that our vision must take us forward. We must have forward momentum. All these things. That is where we gain our power to do it. That is where we gain our power to wake up in the morning and say, okay, I'm going to face this head on. We're going to keep going. We need a power source, if you will. When you flip your lights on at your house, your power source comes from somewhere. Whether it's a generator, whether it's a power station, whatever, it comes from somewhere. Where is your power source for you? It should be only in the one who can really give us power. We have a need for power. God said He will supply our needs. God's power. Again, we must understand He is able. You see, He can't fail. He is all purposeful. He is all powerful. He can do it all. He is able to forgive. He is able to cleanse. He is able to make whole, heal, and protect. And He is not just words, my friend. He is not just a dream or an idol or a thought. He is real. And that's what we need. We need to be able to embrace the fact this is real. This will change my life. And we need that. James teaches in chapter 4 and verse 2 why we don't have this. Because we won't ask for it. He says, I will give to you and give to you abundantly, liberally. I'll give you all you can stand. All you got to do is ask. His power is available to every single person that is His. Because you see, this world is not always good to us. Every one of us can attest to that. It's hard. It's hard sometimes. We need help to make it. We need one another. We count on one another. But sometimes we fail each other. Maybe not intentionally, but sometimes we do. But the great news is we have one. We serve the one who cannot fail. We serve the one who cannot fail. We need His power. We need it to keep going. Have you asked for it? Have you asked for it? Because all you got to do is ask for it and He'll give it to you. Last thing, number 5. We need to be productive. We need to be productive. John 15 and 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. God did not save us so we could sit on a shelf and draw dust. That is not what it was for. He didn't just say, oh, here, I want you to come live with me in heaven forever. Here's this nice little gift. Now go on over there and sit in the corner. Don't do nothing. That is not what he says. He says, I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. A hole never gets dug until somebody picks up a shovel. A cake never gets cooked until somebody mixes the batter and puts it in the oven. God has given every single one of us a talent of some sort, an ability of some sort to use to have an opportunity to share him with others. Now the question is, do we do it? Not everybody can get up here and do what I do, because not everybody's called to do that. Not everybody has the ability to play a beautiful song. Not everybody has the ability to do this or do that, but everybody has the ability to do something that glorifies God, because the Bible says, in all things you do, do for the glory of God. Every one of us has the ability to do something that will glorify God, that will show him in their lives. He says, I appointed you. That means I gave you a job to do. I gave you a job to do. When they appoint people to new positions in government or this or that, that means you're supposed to go do this. You have this position. You have this place. He says, I gave you a job to do, and that job is to go and bear fruit. In other words, be productive. Do something. Do something. Share this good news. Jesus said to his mother when she asked him why he had stayed behind and he was at the temple, he said, don't you know I need to be about my Father's work? That's what we need to be. We need to be about our Father's work, because my friends, as Jesus unfolded the words to John in the book of Revelation, he asked him why. He said, for the time is near. Now, some people don't believe that. Some people do. I'm telling you, if you read God's word and you look around, Jesus could show up at any minute, because we are in one more mess right now. But we need to be busy. We not only need to be sure that we ourselves personally are ready, but what about our families? What about our friends? What about our loved ones? What about our coworker? Do we care about them? Jesus said he came to seek and save the lost. That was not to give directions to town. That was your eternal destination. Eternal destination. We need, in order for this to work, we need for it to be personal. We need for it to be personal in order for it to matter. You see, because if it matters to me, if God is real to me, he has to be real to me before I care if he's real to you. Does that make sense? It's got to be. If he's real to me, that's what it takes. It's got to be personal before I care if you know him. We have to be purified. We must be purified. We must be made clean in him. And when we are, we want the same for those around us. You see, we need that. We need that because it matters. Because if we know how that feels, we want everybody else to share with that. We want everybody else to have that experience, to understand what that means. We have to be positive, my friends. There's enough negative in this world. There's enough pessimism in this world. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to add to it. We must be positive. Only saying, I know so, when it comes to God. You know, when people ask us things about our faith, when things ask us about how did you get through this, I know where it came from. I know where my power source is. I know what I believe. Just as Paul would say, I know whom I have believed in, and that he is able. We need to have that strength. We need to have that boldness. Not hope so, not maybe so. I know so. We need that. And we have to be bold in our witness as we go about in this world. And there is only one way that we can be bold, and that is if we know what we're talking about. We got to have that. We got to have that. And we need power, my friends. We need power. We need God's power. And if you have ever experienced the power of God, then you want everybody else to have it too. You know, I'm telling you, if you've ever had God just sit down on you and just show you what it's all about, you just can't contain that. You can't hold it back, even if you try. It's like pouring too much water in a glass. It's going to come out. I promise you, it will happen. You got to have that to share. And if you've got all of those things in place, you will produce. Because it's going to happen. You can't stop it. It's got to come out. Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We can have it if we want it. We can have it if we want it. Our needs can be met. The question is, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We have a choice to make. We know what our needs are. And we can clearly see through God's word that it has been offered. It has absolutely been offered. The question is, will I take it? Do I want it bad enough that I'll get up and go get it and have it? Because God said I could have it. Because I assure you of this, if you'll get it, if you'll grab onto it, God will use you. God will use you. His promise to supply our needs will not go void. He will absolutely listen. He will do it. He has given everything that we need. He has provided. Do you want your share? Do you want your share? And I challenge all of us, myself on down, everybody, and everybody we know to think about that. Because all you got to do is just tell him. Just tell him. Let me read you this. This is a tremendous illustration about asking for what we need and hearing what God says. I asked God to take away my pain, but God said no. It's not for me to take away, it's for you to give up. I asked God to make my handicapped child whole, but God said no. Her spirit is whole. Her body is only temporary, praise God. I asked God to grant me patience, but God said no. Patience is a byproduct of your tribulations. It isn't granted, it is earned. I asked God to give me happiness. God said no. I'll give you blessings. Happiness is up to you. Have mercy. Think about that. Think about that. I asked God to spare me pain. God said no. Suffering draws you apart from the world and brings you closer to me. God said, I asked God to make my spirit grow. God said, no, you must grow on your own, but I will prune you to make sure you stay fruitful. I asked God for all things that I could enjoy life, and God said, no, I'll give you life that you may enjoy all things. I ask God to help me love others as much as He loves me. And God said, now you finally get it. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for an opportunity, Lord, to share your word, to share my heart, the passion, Lord, that you have given me, the joy, Lord, that I have within me. I know it's because of you. And Father, I want everybody to have it. I realize not everybody wants it. I realize not everybody maybe wants it as bad. But Lord, I believe with all my heart there are some here among us this morning. There are others, Lord, that will come. There are others that we will face, Lord, who need what we've talked about today. They need to make this personal. They need to be purified and cleansed, Lord. They need your power. Lord, they need to be productive in their life. They need to do the things, Lord, that you have shown us. Father, I just pray that everyone, Lord, today have heard your word and will embrace this, Lord, and allow it to create life change. Life change, Lord, that we could be fruitful. We could be bearing, Lord, your word all throughout this community and all throughout this area, all throughout this country, Lord, as we look forward to all kinds of things that you have placed before us, the blessings you have given us. May we give you praise for that, but may we also, Lord, show our joy. Show what it is you've done for us, Lord, and show that indeed you have supplied our needs. And that we show that to others that they can have the same thing. Lord, if there be one here today who has never allowed you into their life, that has an acknowledgement verbally, Lord, from their mouth, oh, I believe in God, but has never had a personal experience of saying, Lord, I need to do better, and I need to get to know you. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me. Make me whole. Change my life today, and let them become a part of the family of God. May your Spirit move during this time of invitation. If there be one with question, if there be one, Lord, that needs the answer, if there be one that just wants a word of encouragement, whatever they need today, Lord, may their needs be met today, be it in their seat between you and them, be it here at this altar between you and them and this pastor, whatever the case, Lord, we give you this time. We thank you for what you've done. In Christ's holy name, and all God's children said, amen and amen. Please stand as we close.